The Youth's Instructor, August 3, 1893, Words to the Young. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We are to keep our eyes constantly fixed upon heavenly things. We are to search the Scriptures, that with quick understanding we may discern the truth and see the light, fixing the eye of faith upon the land that is afar off, but brought nigh by belief in the Word of God. The common earthly attractions of this life are to be eclipsed by our knowledge of spiritual things, that we may set our affections on the things that are above, and not on things that are upon the earth. Children and youth should train their minds to dwell upon heavenly things. They should educate the tongue to speak of those things which are pure and lovely, and discipline the soul to anticipate the precious things of heaven. The less cheap conversation we indulge in, the better. Let your words be pure and sincere. Educate the thoughts to dwell upon heavenly themes. Educate the tongue to avoid vain trifling, jesting, and joking. And seek to be clean and holy in all manner of conversation, realizing that you are fitting up for the future immortal life. You have a soul to save or to lose, and it is your privilege and duty to conduct your lives in this probationary time in such a way that you will have a right to the immortal inheritance. Oh, that the young might realize that they may be as precious plants in the Lord's garden. By prayer, by searching the Scriptures, they can exert a right influence and set a right example. Let the delicate tendrils of the affections twine about Jesus to receive nourishment from Him, and instead of creeping upon the earth, turn the face toward the Sun of Righteousness, that you may catch divine rays of light. Day by day, grow up into His likeness, and become a partaker of His divine nature, that you may at last be found perfect in the paradise of God. Of what profit will it be if children and youth are trained to reach the world's standard, to act a successful part from a worldly standpoint, and yet do it at the peril of losing eternal life? We shall all stand about the great white throne, and every case will be judged, and every soul receive life or death, according as his works have been. How painful would it be to learn there what ought to have been learned in probationary time, that our characters are not Christ-like, and that, therefore, we are not fitted for the better country, even the heavenly land. What if you have been educated and trained in the art of music, and yet have never been taught to sing the new song? What will all this training amount to, if you have not been properly trained to be members of the Lord's family, sons and daughters of God? The Lord says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We are living in a time when life is most precious and most interesting. The end of all things is at hand. Startling developments will be continually unfolding before us. For unseen agencies are at work, manifesting intense activity. The powers of darkness from beneath are moving upon human agents, and evil men are cooperating with evil angels to war against the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. At the same time, a power from above is moving upon those who will yield to divine influences, and the people of God are cooperating with heavenly intelligences. Nothing short of real, genuine faith will survive the strain that will come upon every soul of man in these last days to test and try him. God must be our refuge. we cannot trust in form, profession, ceremony, or position, or think that because we have a name to live, we shall be able to stand in the day of trial. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and those things that cannot be shaken by the deceptions and delusions of these last days will remain. Rivet the soul to the eternal rock, for in Christ alone there will be safety. Jesus described the days in which we are living as days of peril. He said, "As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Our course in this life will decide our eternal destiny there. It is left with us to say whether we shall be with those who inherit the kingdom of God or with those who go away into outer darkness. God has made every provision for our salvation. Then let us avail ourselves of that which has been purchased at infinite cost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.